The book of James, chapter 2, as we continue on in our study here in this portion of Scripture. Last time we took a look here about what it says here in verse number 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." He's spoken to us in the previous chapter about our tongue. He's talked to us about true religion. And then this respect of persons thing that the Lord's speaking to us about. He gives an example of a man coming in with clothing that would be representative of him being wealthy, of him being maybe of reputation or renown. And if we are this way, it goes on to say in verse 3, "And you have respect," or verse number 2, "over the coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel. There come in also a poor man in vile raiment. You have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place," you know, right up here in the front, give him the good seat, the good view and everything. "And say to the poor, stand back there at the back, or sit over here under my feet. Then you are partial in yourselves and are become judges with evil thoughts," judges of evil thoughts. You're making decisions with a bad mindset. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? And indeed the Lord has visited the poor," we're poor in spirit, poor in faith, dead in trespasses and sins, "and the Lord has visited us and given us life, and given us salvation." And we took a look at some of those scriptures that talk about that. And he goes on here in verse number 6. Tonight we pick it up. "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats?" You know, there's an attitude in the day of the ministry of our Lord, in the day of the apostles and such, that if someone was poor, there was something wrong with them. Something was up. Something was wrong. And that can be the case that someone has maybe done and lived their life or managed that which they have to the point that they've hurt themselves, they set themselves back. But it can also be the case that that's just what's happened. That's just where they are. It can very well be the case. Just because someone is poor in material possessions doesn't mean that they're less of a person. Doesn't mean that they're some B-class citizen or such as that. The Lord looks at us, and we're going to take a look at this and see how the Lord is not a respecter of persons. The Lord looks at souls, and you and I well should. You know, it is with children. Children can be very cruel. They're very honest in their innocence, and as they get older and get a little age on them and get a little bit of such, you know, age on them and learn some things and that heading towards maturity, they can be tough. I was that way when I was young, saying things that were mean and being just hard on folks. I remember there were those in school that they were poor. It was obvious that they were poor, and we'd pick on them and make fun of them and such as that. And it's just bad. It's terrible. It shouldn't be that way. Because they are a soul, they are a person just like anyone else is. And we ought to be ashamed if we're engaged in those kind of things. We shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't talk about folks that way. He says, "But ye have despised the poor." Take a look over here in Proverbs 22. Look what the scripture says here. And listen to what the Lord says. And these things are, if it's on the Lord's mind, it certainly needs to be on ours. And as we mentioned last time, we come into this life naked and living, and we go out of this life naked and taking nothing with us. At birth and at death, it's apparent and obvious that we are equal, and we need to remember that everywhere in between. Look here in Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22, verse 22, "Rob not the poor because he is poor," because he's an easy target. "Don't rob him, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate." There where the government of the town meets, there in the gate. Don't oppress the poor there. Don't make that which is hard on them. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. The Lord pays attention to those things, and he doesn't take it light. Proverbs chapter 19. Take a look over here. Brother Parvin Hall was used of the Lord to teach me this verse. I haven't forgot it yet. I hope I don't forget it. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. You believe that? Better believe it, because God says it, and it's true. It is true. And so in our giving and our alms and that, we don't need to make a spectacle in that, but we need to be aware, and when we can help, we need to do so in quietness and singleness of heart. Let's take a look over here in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Take a look here. Here the Lord dealing with these Pharisees and how in verse number 1 it says here, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man which before him that had the dropsy, and the Lord is invited to this place, and he puts a parable forth to them here in this chapter. And in verse number 12, he says, and said he also unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. Tit for tat. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. And whosoever doth... I'm sorry, I skipped over. When thou makest a feast, verse 13, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. The Lord pays attention to the poor, and we, as the Lord has blessed, we need to take a look and pay attention to them also. Back in James chapter 2, he's going to make a point with this. He said, you've despised the poor, you've abused them, you've pushed them away from you, you've not rendered to them as you should and as you could and as you could help. And we've mentioned many times that not only in financial things, but in other things, folks can be poor. They might be very wealthy in material things, possessions, but they might be poor in the way to operate, the way to do, the way to understand certain things. And there's many different ways that we can be poor. But you have despised the poor, verse 6. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? You've got this partiality to this rich man that comes into the assembly. Don't you remember that it's the rich that do these things that draw you to the judgment seats and oppress you? Verse 7, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Blaspheme the name of God? Being the people of God, being the children of God, and they take God's name in vain. They ridicule about such. He says, listen, don't be that way. That's the way they are. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Love that neighbor, whether he be rich or whether he be poor. Love thy neighbor, whether he be able or not able. Because that's the way the Lord did with us, wasn't it? That's the way the Lord has done with us indeed. You do well if we remember that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. As you would that have men do unto you, do ye also to them, the Lord says. If we were in their shoes, how would we want folks to treat us? Would we want them to shy away from us? Would we want them to turn their head from us? Would we want them to hold us in disdain? No, we wouldn't. It would hurt us too. Verse 9, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Like I said, the Jews, they had a thing that prevailed amongst them that they sought if someone was sick or someone was poor, that it was without fail the judgment of God upon them. If you remember how it was that the man that was born blind, I believe, if I've got that right, and they saw him sitting there and the disciples asked him, the disciples said, who sinned, this man or his father? It had to be that way. There had to have been some sin that caused that. And how was it that the Lord answered? The Lord answered, neither one of them, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him, he was born blind. He was born blind and has endured it to today, so that my name, so God might be glorified. So the healing of God and the salvation of God that's going to come upon him in this hour might be manifested, might be shown forth, the goodness of God. That was their attitude. But if you have, verse 9, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Take a look here in Proverbs 28, 21. God is no respecter of persons. It's that way among men. And it's not to say that we're not to have friends. It's not to say that we shouldn't offer praise and appreciation when it's due. But to have men's persons in admiration for advantage, God doesn't like that. God is not pleased in that. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 21. The scriptures here says, to have respect of persons is not good. And you know what? Boy, this next part is really, really something. To have respect of persons is not good. It's not good to be that way, to be the respecter of persons. What's it say? For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. If one is a respecter of persons, is partial, and it's hard for us to not be that way. It's something we need to deal with. But for one that lives in that and operates that way, makes that a normal course, when the fair winds quit blowing, they'll sell you out in a heartbeat for a piece of bread. For a piece of bread, they'll bail out on you. You know, it says about friends, right? You know what kind of friends you've got when your chips are down, right? When things are not going a good way, when things are going against you, it's then that you find out what kind. Everybody's got friends when everything's great. It's told about those that have get great inheritances, or maybe even win big money at lotteries or gambling or such as that. They got friends and people coming out of the woodwork. But then when they take it and they run through it and they've spent it all and it's all gone, they can't find a friend to be able to buy them a can of soda. And one that's in a way of being partial and having respect of persons, they'll sell out for very, very little. And we need not to be amongst those kind of folks as the Lord's children. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. Look over here in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And it is true with our personalities and the way we are, our backgrounds, our abilities, those things that we work in are just different things. We do have a tendency. We get along with some folks differently or better than others. Those things happen. But we always need to strive to be the same to all men. Well, I just don't understand him very well. Well, you need to work on trying to get to understand him. That's what the fruit of the Spirit should be working in us, to transcend those differences, to cross over those differences, or that thing that's there between us to where maybe we just don't exactly click together. We need to work on getting past that. To be friendly and helpful one to another. To be desirous of fellowship. Here in Acts chapter 10, verse number 34, Peter, he went through this, didn't he? And the Lord used him to carry this word to the Gentiles, not the Samaritans, but the Gentiles. Peter was zealous for his nation. He was zealous for the Jews, and the Lord knew that. Remember the great sheet that came down while he was on the rooftop, and it had all manner of beasts on it. And the Lord said, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, 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 not me. I've never eaten anything that I shouldn't eat as a Jew. I've never touched it. It's not come across my lips. The Lord did it again. Was it two or three times that the Lord dropped that sheet down and said, no, not so, Lord. And the Lord said, whatever the Lord has said is clean, is clean. Don't you call it unclean. See, God can change the rules, can't he? He's God. We need to remember that. Wait a minute. If God says it's different, it's different. If God says it's different, it's different. Peter goes there to Cornelius's house, and he tells him the account of those things that how the angel appeared to him and told him what to do. Send to Joppa and name Peter by name. And in verse number 34, Peter there in the midst of them, or verse number 33, let's read that. Cornelius speaking, immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God doesn't respect persons. God's looking for folks to believe. He's not in a fret about it. But that's who is he is seeking for, those that will believe him. Look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. After Romans chapter 1 and this account of what idolatry will do, catch the full sentence here. Verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness of God, righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious, that what? And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. We stand before God as we are. And he doesn't give a lick what our name is, how much we've got, which side of the tracks we live on, or anything. He just does not deal with those things. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. We need to occupy our place that the Lord has made for us, and occupy it right and well, and take the guidance of the operation of the Lord and apply it to our lives. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The rules and the dividing line of truth is the same for all. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, everything you say, do, and think. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. If you understand that, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that the Lord's watching, knowing that the Lord's taking account, knowing that we'll all answer before the Lord as his children. We'll give an account for how we've used the life that he's given us from the time he saved us on in his service. We'll give an account for that. Not being our soul being in the balance of eternal damnation and that baptism of fire and hell and the lake of fire. That's not even on the radar screen, but it's how well did we build? Did we build with gold and silver and precious stones? Did we build with wood, hay, and stubble? And for those that are not saved, you go out into eternity that way. That's all you're going to have is your works. That'll be all that you have to be judged by. And you'll be found wanting because they won't compare to Jesus Christ. Won't even begin. And it's that way for everybody. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. Back in James chapter 2. So he gives this scenario of the rich man and the poor men that come out. He says, listen, it's the poor that the Lord, poor in faith, that the Lord has touched. He is sensitive to that and those that are poor. He has given salvation, not to the poor that are financially poor per se, but to one that is in need. God has been sensitive to that one in need. And the rich are those that take you and they'll bring you to the judgment seats. They blaspheme the name of the Lord. Don't make a difference like men make, but be like the Lord. Don't have respect of persons. Don't commit that sin. Don't be a transgressor of the law and the word of the Lord in that way. But remember the royal law. And love your neighbor as yourself, he says. Verse 9, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Why? For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. The lawgiver, the one that is given the word, the one that is given the instruction, the one that is given the law expects all of them to be abided by. And so if we're a respecter of persons, and God says don't be a respecter of persons, and we go ahead and be a respecter of persons, we're guilty of more than just that, aren't we? Yeah. Because see, the Lord says over here in Matthew, let's take a look over that, let's see if I can find that. Matthew over here in the Sermon on the Mount, we talked about in the class about this. Let's see if I can find this real quick. Yeah, here you go. Look at this. Matthew 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. He said, that's what you've heard. But I say unto you, I tell you what, I challenge you to go in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and underline those, but I say unto you. It's the mind of God, the thinking of the Lord. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. It says here, the way that it's been thought is that you kill somebody, you're going to have to go before the council. You're going to have to go before the judgment, the Sanhedrin, before the nation, and it be determined about your guilt or not. But the Lord says, oh, it's even stiffer than that. It's even more sensitive than that. I say unto you, the man that's been angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of that same thing that you think he is guilty of because he's murdered someone. Angry at his brother without a reason. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What's he go on to say? And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But I say unto you, verse 22, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. That word Raca, if I remember right, is talking about the value of the person, if I'm remembering that right. The judgment, if you're angry without a cause, the counsel, if you say that your brother is worthless, and what's it going to say? But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. To totally say, there is no hope for you. To point at someone and say, you are done. You are totally worthless. You have that attitude. You and I have that attitude towards someone. In danger of hellfire. That's what the Lord said. That's what the Lord said. See, they had this thing about this rating of people and this classifying of people. And the Lord has taken it right to the heart of that. He says, people are people and souls are souls. And if I, as God, look on everyone the same, you sure better. You sure better. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Deal with folks as you would want them to deal with you. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Back in James chapter 2, verse number 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one, he is guilty of all. Why? Because the giver of it has said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Here's the key of this. He's beginning to bring this together. Verse 12. So speak ye, and so do. He's talked about the tongue. And we went ahead and from verse 26, of chapter 1, this man that's religious and bridleth not his tongue, deceiveth his own heart. We took a look over here in chapter 3, talking about the tongue. So speak ye, and so do. He's talked about this scenario here of respecting of persons and making judgments about people rather than being even Stephen with people. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The world has respect of persons. The world does not control its mouth, its tongue. But you and I that's been saved, we've been freed from that. We have been freed from that. We have been given the Spirit of God within that we can understand that going that way and doing that thing is wrong and wicked and evil before God. And the Lord shows us a better way to love our neighbor as ourselves. All we've got to do in treating folks is treat them the way we would want to be treated. That's it. You don't want somebody barking at you? Don't bark at them. You don't want somebody dealing mean with you or doing you dirty? Don't do dirty with them. If you don't want someone building a case to do you harm, don't build a case to do them harm. However you want to be treated, however you and I want to be treated, let us treat others that way. Now, is that such that we should placate or let slip and pass by sin? No, never. It's never at the expense of that which is right. Let's go just a little bit farther and we'll see that. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. We've been set free. We've been set free by the word. Remember over here in chapter 1 and verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ to not sin and do well and do right and obey the Lord, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Are you dealing with the law? Or are you dealing with the Word of God? What's your attitude? What's our attitude? Is the Word of God, is the Scripture a bunch of do's and don'ts that we got to try to navigate through in life? Or is this the Word of blessing that the Lord has given us, and a way of peace, the way of happiness, the way of goodness that we can enjoy the fruit of the Spirit and the blessing of Christ? How is it? So in verse 12 of chapter 2, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. That one that is poor, be merciful. Be helpful. You may not owe them a thing, but be helpful. That one that is rich and froward, be a good witness to them of how you ought to be. But never let sin pass. Let's go over here to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went out on the Mount of Olives early in the morning, came again to the temple, and the people came to him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. What's missing? The man. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. What's he writing? I believe he's writing the law. I believe he's writing that the man and the woman are supposed to be brought. I believe that he's writing about the witnesses. The witnesses are going to be the ones that are going to cast the first stone at her. And he's writing that. He acts like he doesn't even hear them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Said, "Fellas, you haven't done this right. And you've not abided by what the Word of God says. You've not brought them both. You've been a respecter of persons, and you didn't bring your kin. You didn't bring your buddy that was with her. You just brought her." "He is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." There's mercy. Go and sin no more. There's the truth. You see? Being merciful, and back in James 2:13, "For he shall have judgment without mercy. If we are not merciful, the Lord will not be merciful to us that has showed no mercy. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." There's much that can be said about that. But the Lord says here, "I don't condemn you because they brought you wrong. But don't go and sin anymore." See, it's thought that we are to be merciful and let folks get by and pass in their sin, to let our children get by and pass in their sin. That's not to be. That's a misunderstanding of it. But those that desire right things and good things, those that desire to pursue what's right in that, we need to be merciful to them. We need not be a respecter of persons. But when sin raises up, we're to reprove it. As we read this morning there in Ephesians chapter 5, we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And we are to be the same to all men. If we have occasion where the poor is sinning and it's such that we need to deal with it, we need to tell them just like we tell the rich man. We need to be the same. And we need to speak and we need to do as those that will be judged by the law of having been set free. Free to serve. Free to be what? Not the same in the world as we were before the Lord saved us. But what's the Lord call us to be? Salt and light. To make a difference. To make a difference. He's going to go on and talk about that more. About faith and works and how works show forth true faith. What's the theme of the book? The proof of believing is to keep on believing. Remember that here as we study the book of James. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord's no respecter of persons, and you go out into eternity in the condition and way that you are with that load of sin that you've got, you're going to stand before a holy and righteous God and give an account, and you won't have a word to say. You'll be guilty, and you'll have that sin upon you and no way to pay. You can't even get started to pay. It stands against you. You're guilty.